As we prepare our hearts for worship and the scripture reading, let us pray. God, our helper, show us your ways and teach us your paths. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds that we may be led in your truth and taught in your will. Then may we praise you by listening to your word and obeying it. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading is from Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. Let us listen to the word of God. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of Jesus and God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears and with loud shouts all rushed together against him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, and witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading today is from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. It's page 877 in your pew Bibles. Let us listen to the word of God. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the place, and you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Invite the children to come forward. At the prestigious Carnegie Mellon University, they have an annual lecture series called The Last Lecture. Each year, a professor is picked to give a lecture as if it was their last. And they answer this question: what wisdom would you try to impart to the world if you knew it was your last chance? In 2007, Professor Randy Posch was selected to give the lecture. Coincidentally, a month before giving the lecture, Professor Posch had received a prognosis that the pancreatic cancer with which he had been diagnosed a year earlier was terminal. This literally was Professor Posch's last lecture, the last wisdom to impart to the world. And he entitled it, Achieving Your Childhood Dreams. He wanted to tell people that following childhood dreams is not silly. Rather, it's something we should all aspire to. At the very end of his inspiring and humorous hour-long lecture, he says to the group, "This lecture isn't a lecture. I've told you these things because it's a way to lead your life." And then he surprises everyone in the audience by saying, "This lecture isn't for you. It's for my kids." Millions, 18 million people, in fact, have watched the lecture on YouTube. Millions have read his book. Randy Pausch was 48 when he died, and he left three beautiful children behind. He described them, his son Dylan, who is six, loved dinosaurs. Logan, who they called Super Logan at the age of four, had a cape. And he ran around the house, saving everyone. And his little daughter, Chloe, who wasn't yet two, he absolutely adored her. I watched an interview with him right before he died, and he said this, "There's so many things that I want to say to my family. For the kids, it's important that you guys know that I never gave up, and you guys need to know how much I love you. And how much it saddens me to know that I won't be there, that you need to know that even though I'm not there with you in the moment, that doesn't mean I don't love you, and that doesn't mean that wherever I am, that I'm not looking and watching, and I suspect being incredibly proud." His father had an opportunity to give his last lecture, telling his children and his wife and the world what really matters in life. And it makes me wonder sometimes, what would I say? What really matters? I mean, if it was my last chance, what would be my last lecture? Imagine, what would you tell your family? What would we tell our kids or our friends? What would we say before we're about to die? The reason it matters today is because the scripture reading we just read in John 14 is essentially Jesus' last lecture. It's his last lecture to the disciples before he dies. From John chapter 14 all the way to chapter 16, Jesus gives his last lecture to his disciples, and today we just heard the beginning of his last lecture. If you have a chance later, read the rest of it, all the way up to chapter 16. I find it surprisingly appropriate for today as we celebrate Confirmation Sunday. What are those lessons that we want to teach, to impart to our children? Now, we just had a few lessons to talk about what really matters in our faith. Our students were asked at the end of their class to put into words who God and Jesus and the church, all those things, what do those mean to you? And they each shared a personal statement of faith before the elders, before the whole session. Now, right before meeting with all the elders, one of the students was anxious and concerned. It had been a busy week and didn't have enough time to write much. And I told this individual, you just have to say why your faith, why the church matters. After adding a few extra lines at the last minute, the statement became real, sharing it from the heart, the why. In fact, they were all moving and powerful statements of faith from our confirmants. One of the first things Jesus says in this passage is this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Jesus first reassures his disciples. He tells them not to worry. "Don't let your hearts be troubled," he says. And then he tells them where he's going, to be with God. He's giving his last lecture, that he's about to die, and he begins with reassuring words. Now, despite the reassurance, one of his disciples, Thomas, says to him, "Lord, I don't get it. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And this is where Jesus continues in his reassurance. And it also reminds us that Jesus chooses disciples who aren't afraid to ask questions. Now, the reason I think I like Thomas the most is because he kind of reminds me of me. I like to ask questions. I always ask questions if I don't know the answers. In fact, it probably makes me sound dumb at times. One time, Siobhan was telling me about someone named Willie Nelson, and I said, "Who's Willie Nelson?" And, "You don't know who Willie Nelson is, Jonathan?" "Nope." "Well, now I do." Besides not always knowing when to keep my mouth shut, part of the reason I ask questions is because there might be someone who might have a similar question but is afraid to ask. Maybe they're afraid that they'll sound dumb, but I'm not. But the reality is, as Presbyterians, we are encouraged to question. That's what we tell our confirmands. That's what we tell our members. There are some denominations where they don't encourage questioning, so I encourage everyone to keep asking those hard questions. You don't always have to get it. You might sometimes disagree. In fact, there will probably be times when you don't agree with what I say about God or about Jesus or about the Cubs, maybe. And guess what? You don't have to agree with me. I don't always get things right. There's room in our denomination to disagree. So Thomas, he begins questioning, which I'm so glad he does, because if you're anything like me, I don't often get it either. Thomas basically says to Jesus, "Explain this to me as if I were 5 years old. How can we know the way, Jesus?" So Jesus pauses his lecture and takes extra time to answer his question. He says this, essentially, "You know the way. You've known it this entire time. In fact, you're already doing it. You followed the way for nearly 3 years, because I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus tells his disciples the words they need to hear in his last lecture. He offers them the reassurance they need in these difficult days ahead. He tells them not to worry. And he does all this because he loves them. He's not just telling them, but he's also telling each one of us not to worry and to follow Jesus the way because he loves us. Karl Barth, a famous German theologian who has influenced much of our modern theology, many of you might know of him. He helped pen the Declaration of Barmen, which opposed Nazi nationalism. He also wrote 14 volumes of Church Dogmatics. It's 8,936 pages about Christ and God and the Church. And at one time in his life, Bart was asked by a journalist if he could sum up his nearly 9,000 pages of writing into a sentence or two. What would it be? 9,000 pages and 14 volumes. And this was his response to the journalist: "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That's what Jesus' final lecture is about. It's about his love for us, much like the professor telling his kids in his last lecture that he loves them. And even though Thomas doesn't get it, and even if we don't get it, Jesus reassures us again and again of his love, reminding us that he's the way and the truth and the life. Isn't that what we all need to hear above everything else? That we are loved, that we don't have to worry? This last lecture, it doesn't say a thing about what kind of music should be sung in church. It doesn't talk about political views that we should or shouldn't have. It doesn't talk about the little stuff that somehow we tend to focus on all the time. Instead, it focuses on the most important things, Near the end of the passage we just read, he tells his disciples that they will succeed, that they will do even greater works than Jesus. And he tells them if they need anything, all they have to do is ask, and it will be given. In the end, Jesus wants his disciples, each of us, to succeed in ministry, in sharing God's love, giving us every tool we need in order to share Christ's love here on earth. Today's Mother's Day, and this theme of love is so appropriate. There are many mothers here today who have spent their children's lives giving endless, unconditional, sacrificial love. Every person in this room has received love, either from their mother or from another who has loved them dearly. And every single one of us knows this truth. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You, me, everybody wants to be loved. Everyone needs love. And since Jesus is love, then everybody needs Jesus. Even when we don't get it, Jesus reassures us and loves us anyway. Out of all the entire gospel, the message we all need to hear the loudest is love. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's certainly a simple song. It might sum up 9,000 pages of deep theological dogmatics. We've been singing this song since we were toddlers. It's true. When Jesus gives his last lecture, he reassures us that we are loved, even if we question it. And since everybody needs love, then everybody needs Jesus. That's what I want to follow. That way, that truth, and that life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.